Well, I want to invite you to turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20, as we are in the beginning stages of our study in the book of Proverbs. I am very excited about our study. Last week, I shared with you that these first nine chapters really are an extended introduction into the book of Proverbs. The first nine chapters are a collection of poems and sayings of wisdom. And so we're going to look at those individually. And then after we finish chapter 9, the rest of the book, that's actually where the individual Proverbs that we're most familiar with, that's where they begin in chapter 10 throughout the rest of the book, where each verse is, or two verses, is kind of a their own proverb, their own saying, their own truth is communicated in a compact way. And then we will look at subjects from that point forward. We'll kind of group some subject material together to help manage the rest of the book. But today, in our text, verses 20 through 33, we see wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is not like, how many of you take vitamins? Anybody take vitamins in here? I take them every morning. Wisdom is not like my multivitamins that I take every day, the supplements that help me function a little bit better throughout the day, supposedly help me function a little bit better. Maybe some of you would question that. Wisdom is not like going from a regular television to a high-definition television where the picture might be somewhat clear. Well, it is clear. Jesus and his wisdom is not a supplement to our life. He's not an upgrade to help us see things a little bit better. What we see in our text today is that there is a sense of urgency with the wisdom that we have in Jesus Christ. When we see the wisdom of Christ in our text today, it's a matter of life or death. You can feel the urgency in our text. In Proverbs 1, verses 32 and verse 33, he says, "The complacency of fools destroys them, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure." In other words, there's an attitude of complacency that will destroy a person. An attitude that doesn't take Jesus seriously. They want enough of Jesus just to get into heaven. They want enough of Jesus to avoid discomfort or pain. They want enough of Jesus just to make life go a little bit better. But on the other hand, the attitude of wisdom is a listening, a hanging on to every word as if your very life depends on it. And it does depend on it. The listening of wisdom is not like listening to the waiter when he comes to tell you the specials on the menu that day, or the specials that are not on the menu that day. The listening of wisdom is like the listening when you're oncologist steps through the door and he's describing how you're going to attack the cancer that you just found out. It's a completely different listening. Our text today describes and calls for that second kind of listening. You see, God has, and we've talked about this in the last few weeks, what we see in Proverbs is the culmination of God's wisdom imparted to man who have experienced life and who understand that this is the life that will work. This is the life that will lead to blessing and success according to God's standard. And this is the life that will most assuredly lead to destruction. And I think we said it last week. 100 times out of 100 times, if you don't follow God's path of wisdom, it's going to lead to destruction. That's just the reality of the world that we live in. And sin tries to deceive us, right? Sin tries to tell us, well, maybe it'll work this time. But it never does. It never does. And so our text today, we're going to divide it into two sections. The first section we're going to call the call of wisdom. The call of wisdom. And then secondly, the warnings and the promises of wisdom. The warnings and the promises of wisdom. And so let's read our text today, and then we'll come back and we'll look at it. Proverbs 1 and verse 20. So wisdom is pictured as a lady. The lady of wisdom is crying out to be heard. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me, whoever listens to wisdom, will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. The call of wisdom. Notice where wisdom is calling out in our text. In verses 20 and 21. Wisdom is calling out in the streets. Calling out, she's raising her voices in the marketplace. She's crying out in the noisy streets at the entrance to the gates. Where is wisdom calling out? Wisdom is calling out right where we live. Wisdom is calling out as you enter your workplace. The voice of God's wisdom is calling out. As you interact with your family, wisdom is calling out. As you head out for school, wisdom is calling out. As you make a run to the grocery store, wisdom is calling out. As you get together with your friends, wisdom is calling out. As you consider what to do with your spare time in the afternoons, wisdom is calling out. As you head home for work, wisdom is calling out. As you consider a spouse, wisdom is calling out. Wisdom is calling out to us right where we live, right in the middle of the hustle and bustle of life, right where everyday life intersects, where business intersects, where friends, where business, where government, where politics, where sports, where entertainment, where hobbies, where all of those things, everyday living, wisdom is calling out. And notice that she's calling out, she's raising her voice to be heard. Crying aloud. There's an urgency in the voice of wisdom. She says, She's crying out at the head of the noisy streets. She's raising her voice. She wants us to listen. She wants to be heard. Why? Because she realizes how serious this is. We're not playing games here. This is life and death. She wants us to feel the urgency, not complacency. Jesus wants us to pay attention to what he has to say. And the question that Jesus would ask as we begin this morning is, do you hear my voice? Do you hear my voice? Or are we so busy, so distracted, so caught up with the hustle and bustle of life that we don't hear his voice? Don't allow the noisiness of life, don't allow the distractions of life to drown out the most important voice, the voice of Jesus. And as wisdom calls out, wisdom has a question. Two words in our text. How long? How long? This question is addressed to three different groups of people. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Who are these simple people? The simple people are easily swayed. We could use the word gullible. They allow themselves to kind of go with the crowd or go with the flow. They're still in this molding stage. They're still being shaped. They could be young or they could be old and still simple. They still have hope of joining the wise. They're open, but they're uncommitted. And until they repent of their simplicity, they're grouped in this category with the scoffers and the fools. Here's another way of looking at the simple. They think that they're okay going with the flow, and they feel confident that they know enough. They're not like the next two groups, the scoffers and the fools, but the simple in his mind, he thinks, I know enough to get by. I know enough to get by. So that's the first category, the simple-minded. There's still hope for them. They're still being shaped. They're still kind of like wondering, but they're just kind of going with the crowd and they're not really listening to wisdom, going with the flow. The next group, how long, O scoffers, will you delight in your scoffing? I bet no one in here used that word scoffer this week. I bet there wasn't one person who said, you're a scoffer. It's not a word we use. Who are scoffers? Scoffers are characterized by their arrogance, their cockiness, the fact that they know it all, and they'll be glad to tell you that they know it all. Proverbs 21:24 says, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, the haughty man who acts in arrogant pride. Proverbs 22:10 says, drive out a scoffer, and strife will go out. Quarreling and abuse will cease. So the scoffer is one who outwardly gives you the impression that he's got his act together. Outwardly, he looks impressive, filled with pride, filled with this I know it all attitude. Have all the answers, just ask me. You don't even really have to ask this person most of the time. They tell you the answers. Really good at exposing the weaknesses in others. Really good at pointing others, their flaws and their failures. Really good at putting other people down. Really good at stirring the pot. There's an arrogance, a cockiness to these scoffers. They know it all, and they're proud and arrogant that they know it all. Then there's a third category. How long, O fools, will you hate knowledge? The fool is characterized by his stubborn, thick-headed ways. He also believes that he knows it all. He just doesn't have the arrogance of the scoffer. He's just thick-headed, stubborn. He doesn't listen, goes in one ear and out the other, always has an excuse for why things didn't go according to plan, why things are not going right, always has an excuse. It's always someone else's fault. It's never their fault. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. I got this. In their mind, they have it all figured out. They do in their stubbornness. They know it all. Fools. Fools who hate knowledge. Both the scoffer and the fool are headed for destruction. They're headed for ruin. They're headed for calamity. But the simple still has a chance. That's why wisdom is crying out. And let me just say, you can be a fool and you can be a scoffer, and I believe still be saved or be a Christian, but what's going to happen for the fool and the scoffer is God's going to have to put them flat on their back. In order to get the scoffer's attention and the fool's attention, you know, you got to take away the pride, you got to take away all the props, you got to take away all the deceit, and you got to put them on their back where they have nowhere else to look but up. And that's when God gets the attention of the fool, the scoffer, if it's not too late. The simple, they still have a chance. Wisdom is crying out, how long until you make up your mind? And here's what wisdom calls out and cries out to these three, but especially the simple. Verse 23, what is wisdom crying out? Turn. Turn. You need to turn at my reproof. Wisdom cries out, turn to me. Jesus is crying out, turn to me and turn away from your simplicity, turn away from your complacency, turn away from your selfishness, turn away from your know-it-all or know-enough attitude, turn to me. It's interesting. God is not saying that before I can work in your heart and life, you've got to get your act together, or you've got to be brilliant, or you've got to be perfect or intelligent. What God is saying is, in order to work at your life, you just simply have to turn. Just turn. The Bible word for that is repent. God's calling for humility, and he's calling for decisiveness. In other words, God is saying, quit messing around. Quit messing around. Quit considering all the options and decisively turn from yourself and turn to Jesus. Don't be like the foolish Lot's wife and continue to turn back to the things of the world. In the great hymn, And Can It Be, there's a line in that hymn that says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That's what Jesus is saying. Turn with an openness to Jesus where nothing in your life is off limits to him. Turn to Jesus in a way where every door is open for him to go in and rearrange. Turn to Jesus in a way where every area is open for his examination. How many of you ever seen the show Hoarders? That show, you know, where people just have stuff. And I don't mean to make light of it. I mean, there may be someone in here. I have a hard time watching that show. I don't remember the last time I've watched it. I have a weak stomach to begin with. And so it kind of like, so pretty much without fail, these people, these hoarders, Not only is every nook and cranny of their house filled with stuff, but also outside of their house is filled with stuff. And the hoarders have this mentality, this attitude of they don't want people coming in and seeing their stuff. And not only that, but also they have this attitude of doesn't matter how much stuff they have, they don't want to let any of it go. What Jesus is saying, we have a little bit of that attitude in our own hearts and lives as sinners, where we really don't want Jesus going in the rooms of our life. We don't want him seeing what's in there because we don't want to let it go. We don't want to give it up. You know what wisdom is saying? Wisdom is crying out, how long? How long are you going to love being simple? How long are you going to continue to have a know-it-all attitude? How long are you going to refuse? And what Jesus is saying in the voice of wisdom is turn. Turn away from yourself and turn decisively to me. Open every door and let me go in and let me rearrange your life. If we'll be honest this morning, there's not a single person here in the service who doesn't need to turn away from multiple things. Each and every one of us need to do some turning today. Turning from our complacency, turning from this false sense of security, turning from this attitude of coasting, going with the flow, turning from the attitude of, I got this, I can handle it, I know enough. Turning from whatever is crowding Jesus out of your life. Let me just ask you this morning, what are the things that are pushing Jesus to the margins of your life? So I write notes on a sheet of paper. I'm not a typer, I'm a writer. I'm sorry. It's just me. So in every piece of paper, you got margins, right? Let me ask you this morning. What is it in your life that's pushing Jesus out to the margins? See, Jesus doesn't want to be in the margins. He wants to be in the center of the page. And what wisdom is saying to us today is turn from whatever it is in your life that's pushing Jesus out to the edges, to the margins. Turn. First of all, we see the call of wisdom. Secondly, I want us to look at the warnings and the promises of wisdom. Wisdom has some serious warnings in our text. Let's look at those. So he begins these warnings by emphasizing how patient and how persistent wisdom is in calling to us. Because I've called, you refuse to listen. I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you've ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. So wisdom we see here is patiently, persistently calling out. I've called, I've stretched out my hand, I've given counsel, I've sought to correct you. Sunday after Sunday, you've gone into that Sunday school class. I'm going to put a plug in for Sunday school here. Sunday school is really important. It's really important. There aren't many things more important than having your children in Sunday school, especially with the kind of Sunday school teachers that we have here at Suburban. We have some of the best. Sunday school is really important. I've called. I've stretched out my hand. I've given counsel. I've sought to correct you. You've heard message after message. My spirit has convicted you. My friends, my servants, your friends, they've spoken to you. Family members have tried to reach out to you. I've continued to call and stretch out my hand and give you counsel persistently, patiently. And then notice the rejection of wisdom. There's been a refusing to listen. But you've refused to listen. You've refused to take my helping hand. You've ignored my counsel. You've rejected all of my attempts at correction. And so when you have the voice of wisdom trying to say, listen, from experience, I can tell you that this is where you're headed. I can tell you, according to God's word, this is where this path is going to lead you. Whatever. Not for me. 100 times out of 100 times, it's going to lead to destruction and failure. Why? Because God is the one who has ordained the reality of the universe we live in. And notice the graphic description of what is coming to those who reject the voice of wisdom, who refuse to listen, who push away the helping hand, the hand that is reaching down to help. Notice the graphic description in verses 26 and 27. He says, calamity's coming. I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes. When terror strikes you like a storm and calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. In verse 31, he says, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and have their fill of their own devices. He says, calamity's coming like a hurricane. Terror is going to strike like a storm. You reject my wisdom, the Lord says. You reject to walk and live your life in the fear of the Lord, and mark it down. Calamity is coming. Terror will strike like a storm. Distress and anguish are going to consume you. And what's going to happen is you're going to eat the fruit of your own way. You're going to have the fill of your own devices. In other words, there will be a reaping to your sowing. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. I want to read another scripture that goes along with this. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah 6 also gives a graphic description of what happens to those who reject God's voice of wisdom. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it. And find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people. The fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. That's what awaits 100 times out of 100 times those who reject God's wisdom. And then he says that when this terror and calamity and distress and anguish come, and as they're filled with the fruit of their own way, in other words, you live a life and you walk a path of rejecting God's wisdom, you're going to reap what you sow. The path that you're walking on, the road that you're traveling on, rest assured, that's what you're going to reap. But then, when the terror and the anguish comes, he says in verse 28, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. In other words, when they search for wisdom to wiggle out of the tight spot that they find themselves in, God says, wisdom's going to be silent. When the storm comes and they frantically seek wisdom to get out of the trouble that they're in, it's going to be too late. After all that patiently calling and that persistent calling, reaching down with a helping hand, and the continual rejection of wisdom, the continual going in arrogance, the continual going your own way in pride, the continual complacent attitude, the continual, I know it, I got it, don't bother me, leave me alone, and all the words of counsel are going in one ear and out the other. And then as you reap what you sow, and terror and anguish come upon you, it will then, the scripture says, be too late. You're going to have to deal with your consequences. It's not to say that at that time or at that point that if you cry out to God in humility that he may not hear you and, you know, and forgive you and cleanse you and all of those things. But it's a dangerous ground to walk on, to go years and years and years, or days and days and months, and ignoring the wisdom of God's word and going your own way within the back of your mind, this mindset of, well, maybe one day. Maybe one day. It's almost like you're playing Russian roulette. The point is, what he's saying is that when the storm comes, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your actions. God may still forgive you, but you're still going to have to deal with those consequences. Now that's a pretty graphic description of what happens when we reject God's way and God's wisdom. But then the flip side, or the other side, is that there are promises if we do turn. And we can turn today. And the promise is, if we turn, verse 23, if you turn, look at this, I will pour out my spirit to you. If you turn and you open your heart and you open your life and let me come in and let me rearrange it and let me tear down all those idols and prioritize my way and my wisdom. If you let me come in, if you turn from yourself and turn to me, I will pour out my spirit and I will make my words known to you. And then verse 33, he says, and whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without the dread of disaster. If you turn to me, I'll pour out my spirit of wisdom. I'll make my ways known to you. In other words, if you turn to me, I'm going to open up my word to you. I'm going to open your eyes that you may see and behold wondrous things out of my word. I'm going to give you the capacity to grow and increase in wisdom. I don't want you to raise your hand this morning, but I want you to consider this question. How many of you feel like that spiritually you are stuck? That you've been spinning your wheels, that you've been in the same place for a long, long time? I believe that you can be a Christian and you can be there, that you can be stuck. And the reason why you're stuck and the reason why you're spinning your wheels is you're not willing to humble yourself and to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus in every area of your life. I believe you're stuck because you're not willing to open the door and let Christ come in. You're not willing to let Jesus go through that door. You're not willing to let Jesus address that area. And as a result, you've been spinning your wheels. A few weeks ago, we got some mulch delivered to the playground back here in the back. And so I went back there to help him. And I told him where we wanted it dumped, in the middle of the playground, be easier to spread out. And he went and he looked at it, and he had second thoughts. He said, "Well, I don't know if I should go all the way back there." He said, "I don't want to get stuck." And so I didn't say anything. I said, "Well, you know, whatever you think's best." And I mean, he had a big old dump truck full. I don't know how many yards it was, 10, 12, something like that, maybe. Six. Oh, it was more than that. All right. It felt like a whole lot more than that, didn't it? So sure enough, he pulls that truck back and goes within the gate. Truck lifts up, and as that thing lifts up, those back wheels just drop straight down. And so for the next hour, we tried to get out. I went and got shovels, and we were digging, and I got boards, and, you know, we were digging all the way down, front, back, put boards under there. There's no way we could push it out. You know, Samson wasn't anywhere around here, so that wasn't happening. He was just good and stuck, just spinning his wheels. And I think that spiritually, many Christians are just spinning their wheels. And it all comes down to that one word, turn. Repent. I'm not willing to turn my life completely over to you, Christ. Not willing to let you come and address these areas. Don't want to let that go. Got to hold on to that. And you holding on to that in your wisdom is really costing you. Jesus said, "If you will turn to me, I will pour out my spirit to you. And I will make my words known to you." And he says, "You will dwell in security without the dread of disaster, untroubled by fear." There is nothing in all the world that compares to the peace, knowing the peace of God and being at peace with God, and that perfect peace that passes all understanding fills your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, and you can lay your head down on your pillow at night and go right to sleep with a clear conscience. That's the ultimate security. That's the ultimate peace. Jesus is telling us today, turn to me, let me have my way with you. Will you do that this morning? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we come before you today, we thank you for your wisdom. Lord, I pray that whatever's going on in our lives right now, that you'll just drown out the noise. Lord, that you'll block all the distractions. And God, that we will give you our undivided attention. And Lord, that we'll listen to your voice as if we're listening to that doctor, that oncologist who's walking into the room for the first time and telling us what we're going to do. It seems as if everything stops, the whole world stops, and we focus on, hang on every word. And I pray, God, that we will hear your voice in that same way. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to turn, Lord, to repent, to turn from ourselves, to turn from our sin, to turn in such a way, Lord, where there's no area in our life that's off limits to you. And God, you've promised that if we will humble ourselves and decisively turn to you, you've promised that you'll pour out your spirit of wisdom on us. You've promised, Lord, that you will help us to grow and increase in your knowledge and your wisdom and your ways, that the word of God will come alive to us. And Lord, that you will fill us with your peace, your joy, a sense of security, Lord. Father, we ask in this invitation that the Holy Spirit will move in a very powerful way. And God, that we will turn to Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen.